today on CityCast Chicago. In case you couldn't tell from the heat, summertime Chi is officially here. And that means along with the tourists descending on the loop, you're also hearing the sounds of street performers downtown.
There ain't no fun to see that day.
And the artists on these corners have an on-the-ground view of the city center during its busiest season. So I asked one of those performers, my friend Andrew David, to take me into this world. It's Tuesday, June 28th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago.
It is hot out here in Chicago today. About 95 degrees at O'Hare, I believe, when I last checked. And you can feel it. I'm at Michigan and Ontario, facing north. I can maybe hear something, some music coming up ahead.
Standing right outside the coach across the street from Cartier, AT&T, Burberry. And there are people coming from all directions. I'm out here with Andrew David, a street performer, legendary. You can catch him multiple spots downtown. You can catch him in the subway. And he's one of my favorite voices in the city. And so I'm glad that he has some time and let us come interrupt him during his work day. How you feeling today, Andrew?
I'm feeling good. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
No, for sure. So can you kind of describe, one, why'd you pick this particular location? Why are we out on Michigan and Ontario today?
Well, you know, I found as a street performer that the spots often pick me. I always found pre-pandemic that I liked having people out and about, but too many people was too much going on. And so, like, you know, you have times like the 4th of July or huge events that bring a mass amounts of people to the downtown area. There was too many people to pierce through that environment in a way that was, you know, effective to any degree. And so even back in the subway, I would go home before rush hour.
That's interesting too, because I would think you'd be like, when it's the most amount of people, that's when we'll be out there, and it's more when it's more manageable for you.
Yeah,
and you feel like you can penetrate the audience that's kind of moving up and down the street. Despite all of these amazing people out here on the street, we are still navigating a pandemic. But let's be honest, it looks nothing like it did 2 years ago when downtown was dead. Can you tell me, how did the pandemic impact your life as a street performer who really needs the people to be out here?
That month of February into March was one of the, it still gives me the chills, like, craziest experiences, because I wasn't really sure where I fit in. And then at that time as a street performer, I'd been doing it for a few years. And you know what? To be honest, I'd kind of gotten in a habit of, you know, picking the same spots. And so when those spots became ghost towns, I really had to take a sit down moment and say, okay, well, what do I do? And I felt like I heard just keep singing. And so for me to just keep singing, I found myself not downtown, but as a street performer in the surrounding neighborhoods, the South Loop, the West Loop, the Gold Coast, Streeterville, all of these surrounding areas adjacent to downtown that, you know, when you come out as a street performer, you think, oh, Magnificent Mile, Michigan Avenue, State Street, retail, all of these high traffic areas. And when I tell you the month of March, April, all through the summer, the relationship and the experiences that I had in neighborhoods that had there not been a pandemic, I might never have stepped foot in was incredible. Out of the 5 years that I've been performing, those were some of the best experiences I had as a street performer.
What, did you feel that people just were happy to see something happening on their block so they'd come out on their porches? How did people take in those performances?
They were soaking it in, and I was shocked every time. I was like, yeah, and they were coming out on their balconies cheering from, because some areas are set up almost as like, you know, skyscrapers facing one another. And it was like I had hundreds of people in certain neighborhoods, and I think it was a surprise and to my excitement also a delight.
I remember when I first started coming back downtown, maybe at the end of last year or middle of last year, you were outside of the Wrigley Building, 400 North Michigan. And just, I had this moment when I lit up because it was like, that was a sign for me that we were kind of able to go outside. It's not just that the foot traffic was back, the Bucky Boys was back. I could come around the corner and hear your voice. It felt like the downtown ecosystem was coming back. Have you started to see that as well, just noticing more people in the streets, more people stopping?
Yes, I am seeing a lot more receptivity from people. And I always know because for the longest, although I would see more people, I wouldn't see an audience that's still there at the end of a song. And so to see that again, that's one of the signs that, you know, things are moving back in a direction where everyone is able to enjoy outside and the city again.
Do you get a sense of the balance of like tourists to Chicagoans? Because when people think about downtown Magnificent Mile, they feel like it's a touristy spot. Do you get a sense that it's leaning one way, or is there a healthy balance?
To be honest, I feel like it's quite the balanced ecosystem. And maybe as things move up to a more open environment as far as travel and tourism is concerned, that there's a little bit more tourists, especially downtown and on Michigan Avenue and perhaps State Street. But yeah, I feel like I can remember back before the pandemic, oftentimes on the weekends, I would get home and I would find a euro, and after everything shut down, even when it reopened, I would find U.S. dollars and change, but hadn't seen a lot of foreign currency, you know. And I've started to see, gosh, I got a euro last week, so I saw someone's coming from Europe.
I like that, though.
Everybody's coming back to the city, you know.
That's a nice, unique, like, metric for tourism increases. They got all these hotel, like, are getting booked up.
Yes.
People are going to the tourist attractions. You're like, I'm starting to see euros in my box. That means they're back.
Exactly. And when I go to Coinstar, some of them fall through to the end because it's not changed from the U.S. So it's a good sign.
Afraid I might fall. And all the sunshine, I see nothing at all.
I've been pretty tapped in for a couple of years now, but how long have you been performing in Chicago?
Oh my gosh. So I started in the subway back around 2014. Prior to that, I had come up, you know, for karaoke. But I guess, yeah, it's been about around 8 years that I've been singing in and out of Chicago. So
yeah. Why street performance? Why start in the subway?
I grew up singing before I had entered school, throughout school. As I progressed, you know, I always continued to look for opportunities to sing. And so that started with karaoke. That transitioned into community choirs and contests of the like. Someone had recommended, you know, and up in Chicago, being that I'm an hour south from the suburbs, up in Chicago, they have subway performers. With your voice, you would do great up in there. And I was like, okay, well, let me figure out how to do this. And it is nerve-wracking, like learning, trying to figure out how to get down to what station and who's performing and what to sing. But I love it down there.
Do you remember the first song you sang?
I think it was Desperado.
Do you have to ask anybody permission? Like the city, is there any office that you have to go to say, I would like to be an official street performer? Or can you just like come out here and do your thing?
There is a process and procedure to both subway and street performing.
Okay.
That performers are expected to apply and then adhere to. Whether or not that's enforced or you know, taken to a serious degree or not, I'll leave that be. But
when you first started, did you know that, or did you just come out and start doing your thing?
So I
did. And who hit you to the? Oh, okay.
No, I did, and I got all my licenses and permits for the subway, and then license for the street. And you know, I'm not going to make any recommendations to, you know, performers out there, but no matter where you're performing, licenses and permits aside, just be able to continue to think creatively and be the artist that you are every time. That's just really what the focus, I think, needs to be.
Is there like a world of like street performers that we don't know about where you're like battling for the perfect corner, or like, hey, this is where we usually set up, and you got to like maybe navigate those relationships as well?
No.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
Just like open game or what?
Well, from my experience, it is a community, and it's not a very dense community, which is still sort of surprising to me. But yeah, there's no bad blood or fighting amongst anyone that I've, you know, work with or work alongside.
Mm-hmm. And are you performing every day? Like, how often are you out here?
It depends. As of late, it's been about 5 or 6 days a week, and not just street performing, but also I'll have weddings, I'll have events, festivals.
So it sounds like you're basically working full time singing in various capacities. I'm curious, like, what percentage, like what size of the pie street performing takes up compared to some of these other endeavors?
I always find myself making more than enough to support myself and others if need be from street performing, which is probably why, like as you said, I'm kind of full-time singing, not just in street performing, but in general. And yeah, street performing has definitely been a big part of what has allowed me to continue pursuing and enjoying sharing the passion that I have and love for music over the last several years, rather than finding some other form of employment over time. And yeah, so I've sang at people's weddings. A couple friends to this day, like, it was one of the first weddings that I officially booked, and it was after they had met me singing in front of Macy's on State Street.
Mm-hmm. How do you decide what you're going to sing on a given day? You got to like set playlists, or do you just come out and you kind of take a feel for the land?
I want to make sure that what I'm singing matches what's going on around me. I really feel like the more positive music I sing, the brighter and happier that environment gets.
Cause all I need, all
Excuse me, do you have a quick moment? We're down with our friend Andrew.
Is that him, Andrew Davis?
Yes, Andrew to the mic.
His voice is beautiful.
Isn't he amazing?
I thought it was Sam Smith from down the street. I was just like, no, Sam Smith is not on the corner out here on Michigan Avenue right now. No one's paying attention. He's so talented.
What's your advice for just the average person, the tourist or Chicagoan who's walking around downtown? How should they interact with street performers?
I do feel like there's sometimes a subliminal pressure, like I can't stay in or let him know that I'm watching, or what if I don't want to have any money, or like there are all of these.
Like, can I take a picture without paying?
Right. There are all of these just things that people are going through people's minds. And I find myself doing that when I walk by other street performers. So I get it. But I feel people should be able to enjoy the music. It's free.
So if somebody wants to just get like a quick video for the gram, you don't feel like you have to pay to just get your, like, take the picture. It's all good and do your thing.
Right.
Just don't be rude. You know, be nice and
someone's
keep it
video could be the next viral video. Who am I, and who would I have been to charge, you know, say no, not unless you have $5 mm-hmm. or 20 if you want to stand here for the full song. Like, the opportunities come in the strangest sort of ways. And so if I could do everything for free, which I try to make a point of doing, I would.
You know, I've seen you sing at people's weddings. You were on America's Got Talent at one point. Is street performing a step to another, you know, career path? Or is this really one of your true loves and you're just glad you get to keep doing it?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. No matter where music and singing and performing in life takes me, to whatever degree and whatever heights, my hope is that there will always be a place and a space to come back and do this, because it's a part of me now at this point, and I don't plan to ever let that go. I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me that I call my own. And through the dark, through the dark.
If you like what you heard and want to support Andrew, you can find him on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Cash App, and Venmo at Andrew to the Mic. That's Andrew TOTHEMIC. You can also catch Andrew live at the Impact House on Wednesday, June 29th at 5:30. I'll drop a registration link for you in the show notes.
And every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams keeping me away.
Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. It's finally primary day. You can look up your polling place at the Chicago Board of Elections website. I'll drop it for you in the show notes. Now, if you don't feel like standing up for the results tonight, I got you. We'll be in your feed bright and early tomorrow morning with election results. And some good news to get you through. While Pride Month ends this week, celebrations continue into the weekend with Pride Southside. There'll be community forums, balls, and multiple parties outside the DuSable Black History Museum and Education Center. Check the link in the show notes for registration info. As always, I appreciate you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
In case you missed that, that was somebody driving by who heard Andrew singing, who called from the car for Andrew's number, presumably.
I love how he negotiated, like, am I just going to say it on the mic?
And he
I
did.
Mean, maybe you're the only person paying attention. So nobody else going to grab it.